Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 305. Attorney Chet Pleben joins us now. Hello, Chet.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
Good. So we're kind of getting into the real body of the Trump case now, right?
Yeah, we are. Yep. Let's start, though, with the gag order. That was on Tuesday. And Judge Marchant, there were 10 accusations that the government made that Trump allegedly violated the gag order that Judge Marchant had issued previously. The judge found him guilty of 9 out of 10 and fined him $1,000 for each such offense. He also warned him that the next time that he violates this gag order, it could be some jail time for him. So, part of the problem and part of what he pointed out in his order was that by statute, he could only fine him $1,000 per occurrence. Well, to a guy like Trump, $1,000 is you know, nickels and dimes. It's not going to make an impact. And so thus the warning for incarceration in the event that he continues to do that. The other side of that, and what the defense argued was, well, wait a minute, you've got Cohen, Michael Cohen out there, who is a star witness, and they realize that Trump is not supposed to be criticizing witnesses or castigating in any respect the jurors. But Michael Cohen's out there basically doing what he can to discredit Donald Trump. And so the judge issued appropriately, I thought, a warning to Cohen that it may very well be that he may be looking at him someplace down the road if that behavior continues. So we'll see. The real question here is whether or not the former president of the United States and the current candidate for the presidency of the United States is going to be put in a cell during some or all of the remainder of this trial. Hopefully, and Marchant is in a rather delicate position with respect to that. He certainly, I'm sure, doesn't want to lock him up. But on the other hand, if that's the only thing that he has available in order to stop him from criticizing witnesses and criticizing, you know, other people, that's what he's got to do. So
we had David Pecker from National Enquirer. We had right. An attorney for Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. Now I understand we have a tech analyst who's testifying about the contents of Michael Cohen's phones in general as a guy who's tried thousands of cases. How do you think it's going?
Well, they're not there yet, okay? Keith Davidson is the lawyer who represented Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. And he's the one that negotiated the deals with Pecker, with the Inquirer, and with Michael Cohen. And so his testimony obviously is necessary to lay the foundation to demonstrate the ultimate crime of false business records, which is what the reimbursement was for those payments to his clients, and the issue of whether or not there was an intent by Trump in order to further and facilitate other crimes, namely campaign finance law violations or tax law violations. So his testimony was necessary. And now what we're in a little bit right now is kind of the salacious part of it. And of course, more to come because you'll have McDougal and Stormy Daniels also testifying. But, you know, Keith Davidson is what they tried to do with him is, first of all, say, well, wait a minute. You never had any contact directly with Donald Trump. Your contact was only with David Pecker with the National Enquirer, another editor, I believe, with the National Enquirer, and Michael Cohen. You never had any dealings directly with Donald Trump. So they're moving, they're trying at least to move this Keith Davidson guy away from, as far away from Trump as they can, and obviously acknowledging that he dealt with these other individuals. And so what they're also trying to do, and I think they did successfully, quite frankly, and I'm talking about the defense, I think that they attempted to discredit. You and I talked the other day about cross-examination and the effectiveness of cross-examination. And I think that their cross-examination of this guy was very, very effective. First of all, again, as I said, no contact with Trump. And so secondly, though, they wanted to show that this guy was sleazy. And he was a sleazy lawyer. You know, they suggested, well, maybe what you're doing is you're going ahead and testifying in this case in order to avoid extortion charges. They talked to, about with him about some involvement that he had with some Hulk Hogan sex tape and some FBI sting. Some women, apparently, that he represented who leaked Lindsay Lohan's files from the rehab facility. So I think that effectively, at the end of the day, they did paint him as just a sleazy lawyer. Now, the question is, you know, they're all a little sleazy, though. Mm-hmm. This guy, Pecker, the National Enquirer, and Michael Cohen, they're all kind of in the same bed together. But, of course, Cohen is Donald Trump's lawyer. And whether or not he's negotiating on behalf of Donald Trump, whether he's negotiating on behalf of himself, that remains to be seen. So we're nowhere near now. And all of this and the urgency, frankly, was to kill these stories and to kill the story as it relates to Stormy Daniels and kill the story as it relates to McDougal, that this Keith Davidson was trying to peddle for money. And he had ABC lined up as well. And so he was going to sell this to the highest bidder. So during the process, it was the Inquirer that won out and paid the money. But the urgency of all this was the Access Hollywood tape that they authenticated prior to the time that they put Keith Davidson on the witness stand. They also put on evidence of Trump denying in campaign stops that he made throughout the country, denying that he ever knew Stormy Daniels, denying that he ever knew Karen McDougal. Now, that's important in the long run of things, because if it can be proven that, in fact, he did know these two women, that's a consciousness of guilt with respect to those denials.
Interesting.
And certainly could be used against him later on. You know, so you got Cohen out there shooting his mouth off. That's going to be used against him when he's testified. You have Trump shooting his mouth off. That's going to be used against him whether or not he testifies, but probably more effectively if he testifies. And I seriously doubt that that's ever going to happen.
Chet, let me ask you, this is a little bit in the weeds, but I think the listeners will find it interesting. So you have a technical guy on the stand right now who's going through Michael Cohen's phones. And you can tell from the text that, one, he hates Donald Trump. And this is when he was working for him and doing the deals. He hates Donald Trump. And he's complaining about how this, you know, MF is never going to pay me my $130,000. He's not going to take me to Washington, everything I've done for him. Is this sort of like it back going back to the first year of law school, like an excited utterance exception to the hearsay rule that, well, this is contemporaneous and you can tell he means it? And does it back Michael Cohen up?
Correct. Yeah, it does. And then obviously he's going to testify. It's at some point here. He's definitely going to testify. So if they admit that and it's erroneous, if Judge Marchant admits that testimony and it's erroneous, it's going to be cured when he gets on the witness stand and testifies consistently with whatever it is. But obviously, one of the things that they did bring out was that he had an axe to grind with Trump, because Trump, it wasn't going to take him to Washington, D.C. with him. So, you know, now there's a motive, and there's going to be the testimony and the cross-examination of Cohen is going to be very interesting. But at the end of the day, you have Pecker that hooked up Trump into this directly. And so you've got a little bit of evidence right now. But I think you're going to need more evidence of connecting Trump directly to these negotiations, or at least the payments and ultimately the fraudulent business records. I mean, somebody's going to have to testify that they saw Trump sign these records and that Trump just didn't, you know, wasn't handed a stack of documents and he just signed off on them and didn't know what he was signing. And in order to connect him to this crime, because remember, the false business records, that's just a misdemeanor. And you have to prove, the state has to prove the intent to further other crimes, namely campaign finance and or tax law violations. And that's why all of this was being done. That's why they were concealing. That's why they paid. He paid Michael Cohen the way that he paid Michael Cohen in order to conceal some campaign finance law violations because they never reported it. And it was obviously, I think that there's enough evidence right now to show that clearly the campaign benefited. Clearly the campaign benefited from the catch and kill that the Inquirer was doing, Pecker's testimony, and even this lawyer Keith Davidson's testimony. It was actually the campaign that was benefiting. Now, you can argue, well, you know, it was important for Michael Cohen, too, to make sure that his boss was elected president of the United States. And that went south when he got him elected president of the United States by doing this sort of sleazy behavior and paying off, you know, porn stars and that sort of stuff. But then it backfired on him because Trump never took him to Washington. And that's when the honeymoon was over. So we'll see. We're a pretty far away at this point from proving that the actual intent and proving the felony. I think you got a lot of evidence that he falsified business records or that those were falsified. The question is whether it's a felony.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Right, we have Dave Murray coming up in the next segment. Let's cleanse the palate, so to speak. Andrew, last night you paid way too much money for fancy hot dogs.
Yeah, so I wanted to treat myself, you know. I've earned it. I was making, I was going to grill, which I'm not really a griller, right. But I'm learning. I was going to grill for myself and my wife. And,
hot dogs are a good place to start with that, too.
Hot dogs were a great place to start. Yeah. So I got the fanciest hot dogs that I could find.
What were those?
I won't name the brand, uh-oh, but it sounds like Pig Noggin. So I got some Pig Noggin hot dog boar's head. So I got some boar's head hot dogs that were super expensive for hot dogs. But I was like, man, these are going to be the best hot dogs I've ever had. I can't wait. They were like worse than just like the standard, you know what I mean?
Worse Hunters in what way?
They didn't cook very well. I don't know how you're meant to cook these, but they ended up kind of dried up, right? Kind of shrivelly.
Now this could be pilot
error. Did we cook them too long?
Or too hot?
I believe I did everything perfectly because I don't know what either of those two things mean. Therefore, I have no choice but to believe that I couldn't have possibly made any errors.
What's your normal go-to when you buy them?
You know, I'm doing the Nathan's nowadays.
Okay, those are really good.
Those are good.
It used to be, I don't even remember what they were called. I think they might have been called Hunter.
Yeah.
Those are
ballpark.
Yep. Those are the Cardinals brand.
When you cook them.
Hunter were, it used to be the ballpark hot dog.
Right. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm surprised by that because they're kind of on the less expensive.
On the cheap side.
Yeah. They're on the normal side. The Nathan's are a little bit higher up usually.
I started taking hot dogs more seriously, that's when I started going.
Good for you.
How much were the Boar's Head hot dogs?
It was about $9 for like six or seven of them.
That is pretty
more than I've ever paid for hot dogs.
What do you spend on the Nathan's? Because I haven't bought them since last summer. I haven't.
$5.99, $6.99.
I was going to say $6.
Okay, so if you're looking at like the Hebrew National ones are amazing.
I've never had those.
I love that we're doing a hot dog review.
Vienna beef hot dogs are my favorites. They are unbelievable. They're not available everywhere here, but they are my favorites.
I'll look for those.
They're probably going to be.
What are the Chicago dogs?
That's
the
Vienna beef.
That's what it
so
is.
So hungry.
Yeah, I'm making myself hungry just remembering the
terrible hot dogs.
Mediocre hot dog. Hey, a mediocre hot dog is still a pretty good hot dog.
Yeah. Have you ever grilled like chicken?
I have never grilled chicken. I grilled steaks, which turned out somewhat okay. Mm-hmm. I wasn't super happy with them, but everybody else seemed to think they were good. And salmon went really well, but that's like the easiest thing in the world.
How are you grilling? What are you doing?
Well, there's a we have a grill. Well, my parents have a grill. I don't have a grill, but
is it like
I just
charcoal?
Walk to their house. No, it's gas. I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
It's gas, and then I don't do it open top. I close it. I don't know if you're supposed to
depends
close it every time.
Depends on what you're cooking. Mm-hmm. Don't close it on your steaks.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe that was my problem.
Yeah.
So I definitely did.
You can do that on your chicken, though.
Okay, I've not done chicken yet. I haven't tried chicken.
Yeah.
But the hot dogs, I don't know. I felt like I expected better out of 50% higher.
Did your diners agree?
Yeah, they agreed that we were all expecting something special, right? She gives me hot dog
fever. She gives me welcome back, DGS 335. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. Okay, Andrew, I've got the perfect way to grill a steak.
Oh, he's talking to Bo Matthews. He's not even listening.
Doesn't even have his headphones on.
Oh, no.
Now, I know Glover will probably disagree, and Wheels probably will, too.
Now he's paying attention, Dave. Go ahead.
All right, okay. I'm so sorry.
Okay. It's actually a recipe from an old steakhouse in Minneapolis that happens to be called Murray's.
Oh.
Not related in any way. Get the grill good and hot. And I agree with Wheels, don't cover the grill, but I'm going to have you cover it just for a little bit. Nice okay. and hot. You're going to season the steak the way you want it, a little salt, a little pepper, whatever you want to put on it.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in aluminum foil, but before you seal it up, you're going to put a big hunk of butter on top of it. Mm. Going to throw it on the grill.
This is how he does cereal.
Yeah.
You're going to put it on the grill with the aluminum foil, the butter, but not very long. Let the butter melt on it. Then you're going to take the aluminum foil off. You're going to flip the steak over, and it's going to explode on you, but that's just for a second or two. And then you're going to fast, really sear the thing.
Yeah.
Not very long, just depending on how you like it, you know, medium, rare, medium, whatever, mm-hmm. and then take it off. It'll be perfect. It will be perfect.
I'm going to try that.
Does that work on hot dogs?
I bet it does.
Yeah, it works. Yeah, I do it with any kind of meat.
Here's a silly question that I kind of had an argument with my wife about this last night. If you're going to grill a hot dog, should you season the hot dog?
I never do.
No.
No.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, did you see the look Bo just gave him?
The Bo Matthews is standing next to me.
Yeah, Bo just left and went to 97.1.
I thought he was going to hit me in the back of the eye. I could see him in the reflection.
Do you season the hot dog?
I don't know.
Do you give it a little cut, though, down the middle?
I didn't. I would normally because when I worked at Woody's, that's how they taught us to do it to get the even grill all the way through. But I didn't feel like going through all the trouble.
Were
last
you allowed
night
to cook hot dogs at Woody's?
That was the only thing I was allowed to cook.
So you're a professional hot dog cooker.
Oh, yeah. Hot dogs, burgers, and French fries. That was my.
But we know how difficult it is to put a little slice down the hot dog.
It is. Jeez. Hey, listen to me. Nice. Dave, have you ever done it?
Yeah, of course.
Would you stop asking if he's trying to be dirty? Just stop it.
I get it.
Andrew, what were you going to season the hot dog with?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was looking through the seasoning drawer. Well, I was looking at paprika, maybe a little paprika.
You're what? Kidding me.
Oh, yes. Lord.
Give it a all little right. bite. Come on. Give it a little bite.
Now you
so
stay away from the grill. You're permanently
and then
staying
I,
away
we
from
also,
the grill.
There was like steak seasoning. I thought maybe throwing on some like steak or chicken seasoning.
You're like a baby man.
Look, it's the mother of invention is trying stuff.
Look, I'm going to tell you something. If we knew that we'd been invaded by aliens and they're like, look, just be careful. There aren't many of them out there pretending to be humans. I would shoot you.
The aliens are like, yes, we seize the hot dogs.
I was thinking paprika.
Everyone's favorite all-purpose spice.
Just a little paprika. Spice, a little paw
spice. There you go.
Try a little pumpkin spice on there. See how that works.
I would.
Old Bay seasoning.
Can Bo hear all this? Does Bo know that you're... Can you tell him that you're going to season a hot dog with paprika?
Bo, I was going to put paprika on the hot dogs. That's what I was thinking about. I was thinking about it.
You look so sad.
Ghost pepper?
I would. Would you? Are you being serious? Because I would try that.
But you do that after the fact. You put those on the hot dog. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just thought maybe you... You know, you hit it with a little spice, a little power.
Well, you could. I mean, do what you want to do.
Right.
Couldn't have made them worse.
Don't serve them to us, but do whatever you want to do.
Oh, boy. So, Dave, Wheels was just asking me because we can see some darker clouds out there.
Yeah, out to the west.
Yeah, out to the west, right?
Yep. And there's a pretty good line of rain and thunderstorms. Nothing severe at this point, but and I'm not expecting much in the way of severe weather, but it runs from Quincy to Hannibal, down to, let's say, Mexico, down through Columbia and Jeff City, and works its way just to the east of Osage Beach. That's basically the line. It is moving to the east, northeast, fairly slowly. It's got more of a northeast push than an east push, but it will be moving towards the St. Louis area this evening. It will lose some intensity as it gets closer and closer, but expect some showers and a couple of thunderstorms, mainly after 7:30, 8 o'clock, and it will run for several hours. Could be some heavy downpours of rain, a little bit of lightning, but again, not expecting any severe weather. Could be a leftover shower, a thunder shower, first thing in the morning Friday, then turning partly sunny. It's cooler by a good 10 degrees, 75 degrees, little northwest wind, partly cloudy Friday night. The weekend is a little unsettled, but as we mentioned yesterday, a lot of dry time. Saturday, partly sunny. We'll watch for a couple of afternoon thunderstorms, 82. I think Saturday night is dry. Sunday, partly sunny, some scattered thunderstorms around on Sunday, 79. There is a little push in the atmosphere. So all the severe weather that's been out in the plains for the last week or so is going to get a little bit of a nudge. And I think we'll see an uptick in rain and thunderstorms as we get into next week. And there is a potential for some severe weather for us, especially next week.
Okay. Let's continue the food discussion. Today is National Salad. National Salad Day. I took a long time to warm up to salads because literally our salad dressing was Miracle Whip. My mom would cut a quarter of iceberg lettuce off, put it in a little brown plastic bowl, put a big dollop of Miracle Whip. That was the salad. So when did you guys start eating salads and what was your go-to dressing?
Good question. So when I was a kid, the salad was basically just iceberg lettuce, maybe a few croutons. That was about it. And then it was French dressing because that's what my dad liked. So that's what we had.
That's what you had.
And then I liked the Catalina when I found out about that. I was like, yeah. Then it was Thousand Island. I've been Thousand Island ever since.
My fave.
I told someone the other day, I forgot who it was, that I loved Thousand Island and they called me a Hoosier.
Really? I'll happily be a Hoosier to eat the Thousand Island. Yeah.
I'm partial to a Caesar salad, but I mean, I like all kinds
fancy
of salads.
Fancy pants.
Yeah, that's when I remember like starting to like them as a kid. I think my mom started to get Caesar dressing and I was like,
I remember my first salad bar. Just being blown away.
I loved those, man.
Add as much bacon bits as you want.
Cheese and eggs and everything else, yeah.
I still like bacon bits.
I do too.
Me those too. Are the best.
Not even real ones. I mean like bacon bits.
Oh, the fake ones?
Yeah.
Those are good too.
What the hell are those things?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure there's no bacon in it.
It feels like
they're probably like soy
scraps. Dog food adjacent.
It's spam.
It's just salt.
They're just bacon strips that they chopped up.
Hey, we got some leftover bacon strips here. Yeah. Man, put it in
if that's what they are, they're good.
Dave, when you're in Hawaii, do you do the spam thing?
I love spam.
Oh.
And I mainly love it because my son, he just really likes it. And he knows how to prepare it. And whenever he's out here, that we always have a breakfast of pancakes and spam.
Nice. I'll have to try.
It's good.
Never tasted it.
You know what? It's one of those things where you see it on the shelf in the store and you go, I wonder if that's any good. And it's like, nah.
Yeah.
Move on. Yeah, but pick up a can and then you'll do the same thing. It will be in your cabinet. Oh, look at that spam. No, I think I'll pass today. But you really have to try it. Just put it in a fry pan. Fry it up.
Okay.
Is it better with paprika? yeah.
Make sure you season it well.
poor Andrew.
He's just
trying to explore, and we're like, that sounds gross.
I think I'm going to try it.
I don't think you should.
No, don't. Because you know, like paprika doesn't cook like other seasonings either. Like it smokes and turns black.
If this truly is a video game simulation, like I think it is, he's going to become a billionaire with paprika dogs. Pappy dogs.
Oh, I saw on Twitter the other day, someone posted, they were at the Cardinal game, but just the baseball game. And they were like, let's do this. And the picture was their beer with their hot dog dunked in it. And, soaking it. Stuff like that.
No.
I know they're just doing it for engagement and, you know, just to make content and get people upset. But that's the kind of stuff that's rage bait for me.
No, so I've seen this. So what you do is, I've not tried it. But what you do is, as I understand it, you take the straw that they give you, you punch through, and then you use the hot dog as the straw.
No, that's not what this is.
This is with the bun.
This is like dunking a donut in coffee. This is like you dunk the bun in there, like the professional eaters do with water, but you do it with beer.
So everyone has their things. Like Rach loves Dr. Pimple Popper. Other people make them throw up. The hot dog eating contest when they dunk it in the water is one of the grossest things I've ever seen.
It's pretty terrible.
Yeah, it's just awful.
Crazy about that one either.
Just do it without it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Joey Chestnut doesn't eat 118. He eats 38. Who cares?
Right. They should make the water part illegal.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Right. It's like steroids for food eating.
Yeah.
We don't need any performance enhancing water.
Hell no, we don't. Hell no. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All righty.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 351 here with our pal and radio legend, Bo Matthews. Good to see you, buddy.
Legend. Whoa, you got to be old for that.
that's another way.
Yeah, good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too.
Last time I saw you, we were munching at Sam's Steakhouse.
We sure were.
It's been that long.
It's been a long time.
Yeah,
we need to do that again. That was fun.
So I didn't want to come in empty-handed, so I didn't. Big donor to my Big Dogs Poker Bash, which is Sunday, and we'll talk about, is the Blue Owl.
Great.
They donate sweets for all of our players. So I brought you, and I want you to know that I'm famous for this reason, the gooey butter fried pie. You've heard of apple pie.
I've never had that thought in my head.
Well, I helped with the chef, that powdered one right there. You are going to be a diabetic from here on out, at least for the day. But it's gooey butter.
Bo, if he passes out, you got to stay.
I'm passing it to
Rach,
you, Will.
Take a bite off the other end.
Hey. Hello.
Are they all the same?
Lady and the Tramp. How cute. How cute.
No,
those are apple and those are cherry.
Cherry, dude.
All right. You can hold on to it.
You're not getting this one back.
What do you think?
So I think that's one of the best things we've ever tasted.
Wow.
So, hats off to Kim Hofstetter at the Blue Owl. She did that and been a great supporter of this event for many years.
Yeah, remind us, because we've done this each year, but tell us about the event.
So it is Sunday, Cinco de Mayo. We are going to have a Mexican theme. We're going to have pork tacos. Got to keep it country. Pork tacos, margaritas, chips and queso.
Put some paprika in those.
You know, I've heard about that. I'm thinking if you can season them like Costco does.
It goes on everything.
Yeah, right. So anyway, this benefits law enforcement out in Eureka, the Big Dogs Poker Bash for the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund, which I'm a co-vice president of this organization. And we've raised a lot of money over the years. If anybody likes to play Texas Hold'em, if you like playing it at your house games, you know, during the winter, families get together, play card games and stuff, this is your game. And we've got room for 250 players. So last year, first place took $1,200 home.
Nice.
So it's worth it for a $50 or $60, donation to get into the thing. So your food's included and all that stuff. And it's just going to be a blast. And it's going to be this year at our biggest venue, which is Holiday Inn at Six Flags. And Mike out there is great. He's been a great host for us. So doors open at noon on Sunday if you can make it. But just want to stop
in. How do you make your money? Is it strictly from the buy-ins, or do you do any sort of raffles or anything like that?
All kinds of great stuff. And I'm glad you asked. We had a Year of Guns gun raffle that's still going. That was awkward because they were $100 tickets, and that's a hard ask. But we only sold 250 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an easy ask.
Mm-hmm.
I won the first one. Tell me how awkward that was.
That's very awkward.
But I had a ticket in there, so it was legit. We have more. Razorback Armory donated a beautiful Glock that we'll give away at that event. Plus, we've got three 22s we're going to be raffling off.
Mm-hmm.
Got a huge silent auction. So, that's the other thing. If you don't want to play the cards, $10 gets you in the door. We're going to feed you, give you some soda pop, and you can get involved with all the raffles and stuff like that.
That's super cool.
So, how's your world been?
Since my mom fell, it's been all about my mom.
Are you over there all the time?
Over there all the time.
You know, so many kids don't go see their parents at the nursing home, so that's good you're doing that.
Yeah.
Well, is she close by?
She is. She is now. She'll be moving, but she's pretty close to me now. So I go in the morning, go at night.
Good. Man, we need more kids like that, huh? Going to visit your parents.
How about you?
Hanging in there, staying busy. Been doing more voiceover work, doing work with the Museum of the Bible, National Collegiate Basketball Hall of Fame.
Nice.
Part of that. NFL 101 Awards. You know what that is?
Yeah.
I'm their narrator during their events.
Dude, that's perfect.
I'm not even a sports guy.
That doesn't matter.
They just want that.
The voice of God.
No, you do.
So, Bo, I think I remember you telling me that your voice hit when you were about 13, right?
Yes, I remember the day.
How about you?
Probably not till 16, something like that, 17.
Boy, the two of you together.
It would be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's like a UFC fight when we're talking
it's
together.
Too much. Too much testosterone.
We should do the voiceovers together.
That would be awesome. You'd be great as an audiobook guy.
Aren't you guys also picturing Bo as a 13-year-old with the exact same voice that he has now?
Just like, it's hot, right?
He gets into like seventh grade. He's like, hey, Miss Crabapple.
And he's still got the tattoo.
I also had a full beard at 13, so go.
Dang, dude.
You've been looking for Bigfoot, buddy. I'm right here.
I've been friends with him now for 20 years. How do people get involved?
Okay, simply go to Facebook. You can search my name, Bo Matthews, or go to the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund page and hope to see everybody Sunday. Just show up. We're going to have a great time.
Cool.
Good deal. Thanks, Dave. Let you down.